I'm Cynthia Rothrock, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
I'm Casper Van Dien, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hi, I'm Christos Gate.
Hey, this is writer Fred Van Lente.
Hi, this is Ruth Fletcher Gate.
I'm Barry Gregory.
Hi, this is Derek Donovan.
And this is Victor Dandridge.
Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously.
And welcome to Thinking Outside the Long Box. My name is Thomas Strange, and we're very happy to have an extra special guest today, along with the regular panel, like Mike Manning down in the Principality of Louisiana. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing excellent today, Tom. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. And we got Josh Opper up in Boston.
Covered in a cute and fuzzy puppy.
I love that puppy of yours. And then we got LT, Little Tom. How you doing, my friend?
I am quite puppyless, but I'm doing fine.
Puppyless should be your new handle. And special guest today coming to us from, where are you from, Dylan?
Folsom, Louisiana.
Oh, another person down in Louisiana. I hear that is a swamp desert. This is Dylan. Dylan, how old are you?
I am 7, going to be 8, September 27th.
Yeah, we stop saying that at a certain age, Dylan. No one cares you're going to be 8. We can do the math, buddy. All right, so Dylan's our special guest today because we're going to be talking about one of Dylan's favorite characters of all time. Today's episode is all about Cyborg. We're going to let Dylan go. We're going to let Mike do the background story on Cyborg, and then we're going to have Dylan tell us what his favorite things about Cyborg is. Is that correct, Mike?
Yes, it is.
All right, so why don't you give us a little background on everyone's favorite half-man, half-machine superhero, Cyborg.
Cyborg was created by Marv Wolfman and George Perez to appear in the New Teen Titans. However, his first appearance was in DC Comics Presents number 26, where they had a special insert issue where they had the first few pages of the New Teen Titans. So Vic Stone was horribly disfigured in an accident, and as a result, his father, Silas Stone, saved Vic's life by turning him into Cyborg. Superhero by using his advanced cybernetics. Now, this caused Cyborg to have a lot of issues, one with his father, and another with whether he was really a person or not, or if he was more machine than man. And it's a perfect dichotomy to Ben Grimm's role in the Fantastic Four, where he didn't quite feel human after he became a superhero. There's also a great pairing in the New Teen Titans where Cyborg and Changeling become best friends, and it's just like the Johnny Storm, Ben Grimm dynamic, except, you know, Changeling's not a jerk like Johnny Storm.
So he'd pick on him, but he wasn't an absolute jerk about it.
No, you could tell they were best friends.
Okay, good. I always kind of felt weird when, you know, Johnny Storm would be pretty much close to cruel to Ben and in the name of comedy.
Yes.
All right, well, Dylan, why don't you tell us your favorite things about Cyborg?
I like him. He's funny. He's strong. He's very strong. I like him because he can... In the comic, I have a comic that says it showed me that he could tell what was going to happen in the future. He's very, very smart. He's really cool. He has all these hidden weapon systems and it's inside his body, and they just all pop. They can pop out any moment whenever he wants to. He's just really cool. That's what I like about him. And he's good friends with Beast Boy.
So you think of Beast Boy as Beast Boys, but some people call him Changeling. Why do you like the Beast Boy name better?
Because He can turn into beasts and he's a boy.
Yeah, see, it makes sense to me. I'm on Team Dylan on this one, guys. Stop saying changeling, Mike.
My bad.
I like Beast Boy, too. There's the alliteration.
Yeah, BB. It's great. What do you know the character mostly from, Cyborg? Do you, Dylan, do you know mostly from the TV shows or from the comic books?
Mostly from Teen Titans Go.
I love Teen Titans Go. That's what I'm going to actually talk about later. Did you watch all of them?
I haven't watched all of them, but I watch it a lot. I've watched a lot of repeated episodes because they're really funny. But, yeah, the episodes are good.
Yeah, there are two types of people who really enjoy Teen Titans Go. People about your age and people about my age who live in Colorado. I'm just letting you know that. Because it's a huge demographic that you might not be aware of, Dylan, because you're only 9. I'm sorry.
Future reference there.
Distant, I want you to re-listen to this podcast when you're 18 and go, oh. All right, well, Josh, you're on Team Tom here. You were never a huge fan of Cyborg, but you like the character. Can you tell us anything that you like about him?
Conceptually, I like the character a lot. I like the fact that, you know, he's sort of the son reborn built by his father, and how that's both a conflict for him from a, you know, am I just a metal monster, or am I the person my dad loved, and he did all this to make me who and what I am, and that's why I'm a hero. So I really like that sort of storyline for him, all the conflict he gets into, Yeah, overall, I read some of the New 52, but no, I've never really been a big Cyborg on the comic fan. Although I do love Teen Titans.
I love Teen Titans also. Mikey, what is your favorite run when it comes to Cyborg?
So I really liked him in the classic Teen Titans, and unfortunately, they never really gave him major storylines. They mostly reserved that for Robin and Raven and Wonder Girl. But his new inclusion in the Justice League in the 52 was excellent. In fact, in the opening series of Justice League, the New 52, which I'm not going to steal the thunder from Tom because I know he wants to talk about. But Cyborg is one of the intricate members of the Justice League, and he is going to have his own movie. If anybody saw the Batman vs. Superman movie, they have a little preview of Cyborg. You can see him for just a few seconds, and I'm going to spoil it. So if you don't want to get spoiled, don't listen for the next 10 seconds. But he's being made by his father, and you can see a mother box. And what happens is in the New 52 origin of the Cyborg, they use either New Genesis or Apocalyptic technology to save his life.
So Cyborg wasn't the character that was underwater swimming fast.
He was not.
Okay, I just want to make sure I got that right, because I watched it and I was a little drunk. Tommy, I know that you're dying to talk about your favorite Cyborg run, because you're a big fan. What do you like about Cyborg? What was your favorite bit?
I really liked, in the New 52, the Forever Evil storyline, where Cyborg is separated from his cybernetics. As cybernetics take on a life of their own as Grid, working for the crime syndicate. And his father has to basically rebuild him. And his father rebuilds him, and then he kind of conscripts the metal men to help take down Grid and try to get the Justice League back from being trapped in the Firestorm Matrix. I thought that was a really great run. I'm a big fan of the metal men. I've always liked them. The idea of these autonomous robots that can kind of change their shape at will. And I just thought it was a really great storyline in the New 52.
Well, personally, you know, I never read a lot of the old Teen Titans. I wasn't a DC snob. I wasn't one of those guys. But I just never really got into Teen Titans. I was too much into other teams to really get going. I really do like the cartoon, though, not just because I'm from Colorado. But there really is some funny, funny bits. And if you're two scotches in and you're watching Teen Titans Go, some of those are really funny.
Yeah.
So you agree with me on the funny part?
Yeah, I do.
Dylan, so you have a couple drinks, right? And you watch.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, all right. I see. I'm exactly with you, buddy. What's your drink of choice? What do you drink while you're watching?
I don't drink or eat anything while I'm watching it. I rarely drink or eat.
Oh, you got to concentrate.
Yeah, I just watch it. It's pretty funny.
You starve yourself into a euphoric state. I'm glad we're a fan of this thing to go. According to Angie's Law, we can never watch it together. But I'm really just glad that, you know, we both enjoy the cartoon. All right, so we're going to go to some of our regular spots now. And I think it's best if we start with Joshua, because Dylan can probably chime in with whatever Josh was about to go off on. Josh, go off on a rant. What's our rant today?
So my tangent today, mixing it in with the cyborg theme, is what's the guy from South Africa, the runner, who has the fake legs?
Flash?
Is it the Flash?
No, the real guy, not the cartoon.
His name is the Blade, and
they call him the Blade. They call him the Blade Runner.
Yeah, the Blade Runner. Hold on, Runner, Blade. Hey, there's a movie about him.
I'm glad you were prepared for this section, Josh. Good research.
I gotcha. Ridley Snope. That's not really Scott, because he's a kind of Blade
right.
Runner.
Ridley Scott. Oscar Pistorius. So, the theme of Cyborg, do you think he should be able to compete against, you know, unaltered people?
That's a great question. Go ahead, Dylan. What do you think?
I think he should be able to battle anyone, from Marvel superheroes, anything like that. I think he should be able to.
I would love to see Oscar Pistorius battle the Flash.
I think he should be allowed to battle anyone.
Yeah. I mean, we already know he's a good shot.
Yeah.
Actually, we know he's a horrible shot.
Hey, one shot, one kill. That's good to me.
Yeah, it wasn't one shot, though, was it?
No, it was six shots, but he also killed the door. Dylan, in case you don't know, Oscar Pistorius is a real person. He's a runner who has what could be called cybernetic legs. He has these big springs, and those springs make him so fast that he actually competes with people who don't have prosthetic legs. Dylan, do you think someone with real prosthetic legs should be able to compete in the Olympics?
I think they should.
Okay. Some people think it gives them a little bit of an advantage.
I think people should be able to do whatever they think they want to do.
Dylan, man, you're going to be a libertarian, and I'm for that. Don't vote for Trump, but I'm for this libertarian vibe you got going here, Dylan.
I think he's more utilitarian.
Well, he's just not utopian. So, Tommy, what did you think? Do you think Oscar Pistorius should be able to compete?
Well, you know, I don't see why he shouldn't be able to compete in a category of similarly altered people.
We're talking about whether or not he should be able to compete in the regular Olympics, not the
regular Olympics.
I'm just saying, I think everything should be on a fair, even playing ground. I would not put him in the regular Olympics. I would just create another subsect so that other people with prosthetics could compete against him.
Well, you're on the wrong side of history, and you're a monster. Josh?
I'm a monster.
I agree with Tom for a different reason. So my problem with Oscar Pistorius is that he can become a worse athlete and through technology get faster.
All right. But when you're talking about I do agree with you there, Josh. When you're talking about unfair advantages, everyone has some areas in which they have an advantage. Some runners have longer legs. Some runners naturally have a better CO2 to oxygen ratio in their blood. This has been shown time and time again. Who's that famous swimmer with the extra long arms there?
But they're not allowed to alter themselves with chemicals, right? So doping, right? If somebody can hold more oxygen in their blood, should they be able to inject themselves with oxygenated blood?
They have been caught doing so, and it is illegal. What about getting LASIK surgery to give yourself greatly improved vision, as Tiger Woods has done twice?
I think that's awesome, but that has nothing to do with Tiger Woods' swing.
Yeah, but it does have a lot to do with his ability to see and visualize the target. Well, all right, what if he wasn't a golfer so much as an archer?
Are you saying that he wouldn't be allowed to wear his glasses in competition? Right.
I am not. I'm saying some people do have a natural advantage, and some people have an advantage given to them by simple mechanics, like a pair of glasses.
But I don't think LASIK surgery would make his eyes better than an average person. I think it just corrects a default vision.
You can get down to 15-15 vision with LASIK. Do you have 15-15 vision?
You can't get down to 15-15.
Because I am older. Actually, my vision is getting worse.
15-15 is the same as 20-20.
It's also the same as 10-10 or 1-1.
It sounds better my way. Leave me be.
It does not. Well, let's get back to Oscar Pistorius taking on people from the Marvel and DC universe.
Well, Stark had the woman with the blade legs from the Kingsman. Very similar.
That was awesome.
And she was a bad mamma jamba.
And I think she had an unfair advantage over the Kingsman.
She did. Cool, super sexy blade legs. But that's just my kink. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, that was great. Dylan, did you see the Kingsman?
Cyborg should be able to battle the Hulk. I think that would be pretty cool to see Cyborg battle the Hulk. That'd be pretty cool.
Who do you think
Cyborg versus the Hulk?
Yeah, yeah. Cyborg
versus the Hulk. Who do you think wins?
I'm not sure. They're both pretty good. I'm not sure.
I'm going to tell you right now who wins. Cyborg. You know why? Because he can use that sonic blast and burst out the Hulk's eardrums, knocking him unconscious before he can get too angry about not being able to hear.
All right. Couldn't the Hulk just keep slapping his hands together to counter any sonic attack? I've seen him do it.
Hulk would have to be angry. Cyborg is a very nice guy. How can you get angry at Cyborg? Could you get angry at Cyborg, Dylan?
If he annoyed me enough, I would attack him.
Has he ever annoyed you enough on Teen Titans Go?
No.
See? He's chill. Yeah.
Wait, not even that episode where they wouldn't get off the couch? That was annoying.
Where Starfire had that pot of beans.
That's right, that big pot of beans.
That she had a crush on?
Yeah.
That was funny.
That was funny. I laughed a lot during that episode, mostly because I was in Colorado at the time.
And he was eating a big pot of beans.
I was. All right, so now we're going to go over to our regular scheduled parts of our episode. Mikey, do you got anything really cool for us at the front of the long box?
I do. I have Cyborg. He's got his own series now. The first 9 issues were by David Walker, who I've talked about previously. He was on our friends over at Black Nerd Power. They had an interview with him, which was excellent. He's also writing Power Man and Iron Fist right now. And the first 6-issue run of the series featured Cyborg going up against a bunch of technology-based aliens. And then the last 3 episodes has put Cyborg in contention against the U.S. government as they've been drafting legislation to control what kind of cybernetic enhancements people can get. It's a fascinating storyline. Unfortunately, David Walker had an argument with DC Comics and left on issue number 9, right in the middle of his storyline. So I don't know what's going to happen with it. But I'm looking forward to seeing whoever takes over the series, what they're going to do with it.
Well, that sounds like a fascinating issue. I really enjoy that. I loved his run on Power Man and Iron Fist, of course. Tommy, why don't you tell us what's at the back of the long box today?
Well, in dealing with everything Cyborg, I figured I would talk about Justice League Volume 1 of the New 52. In it, it's the origin of the New 52 Justice League, where basically parademons are spreading mother boxes all over the Earth. And in that invasion of parademons from Darkseid's world apocalypse, Victor, who becomes Cyborg, is kind of messed up by the mother boxes because he's kind of right near one when it goes off. And his father, Silas, takes nanites and programs from the Red Room and basically creates Cyborg as we know him. And Cyborg, along with Batman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and The Flash, all battle and Superman, all battle Darkseid and the Justice League is tentatively formed from that. And a little later on in the world of DC, they also made Justice League War back in 2014, which is an animated version, which is kind of very similar to Volume 1 of the Justice League. The difference is that instead of Aquaman being in it, Shazam is in it and helping out. And it was a really great animated film. I thought it was really had some really good one-liners from Green Lantern, and Batman was brilliant in it, even though I would have preferred if Mr. Conroy had voiced him. But yeah, it was a great series.
Hey, I'm going to go up to my room and get one of the comics that has a great picture in it where, like Miss, one of y'all said, the robotic-type aliens. I'm going to go get it and see if I can find the page, and I'll be right back down with it, okay?
Terrific, Dylan. Go on up.
So y'all can talk about comics while I'm gone.
I will.
Okay.
All right, so Josh, you and I have both seen the U-porn video of Cyborg and Raven having sex. We can talk about that now.
We can talk about just
all right,
don't link it on the website.
I'm not going to link it on the website. I will allude to it on the website. You can go find this on U-porn. Feel free to Google it if you want. I assure you it's the first thing that comes up. If you put Cyborg Raven porn, it goes right to it. By the way, has Cyborg ever fought Luddites?
No, that would be an interesting storyline. I'm sure
that
David...
would be.
Okay, I'm back with my comic.
All right, what comic? Okay, what issue is that, there, Dylan?
It's Cyborg Man Inside the Machine.
All right. Yeah. We can't actually show pictures to our audience, but tell us why you like that particular comic so much.
Because it's where these evil robotic aliens take over Cyborg and take over the good side. And now they have to try to become good again.
All right. That's great. I'll tell you what. After we're done with the podcast, I'll have you send Mikey some pictures of that. And we'll put it up on our website. Last but not least, for our regular features, I'm going to talk real quick about Marvel Premiere number 49. This is from 1979. And this is the Falcon's first solo comic. And he is fighting someone called the Silencer. The Silencer had this ray gun that would destroy your it would numb your vocal cords so you couldn't talk. And the Silencer was all about stopping free speech. He didn't want this Russian guy talking about how Captain America was destroying the world by fighting with a flag draped over his body and not really representing the United States correctly. So the Silencer was this character who was defending the United States by saying free speech was wrong. So it's a very interesting dichotomy. Great read. A lot of fun to read the end. It's got a really stupid puzzle in the middle of it that J. Jonah Jameson puts in the bugle for everyone to try to solve. And the puzzle answers are hilarious. And seeing Robbie Robinson go through all these, answers as people are trying to help the Falcon solve this puzzle about who the identity of the actual killer is pretty funny. And also, he talks a lot about American issues in this one, especially when it comes to free speech. Are we free to say what we really have to say or want to say, or are we silencing the most the voices that we just don't want to hear, which I think is an important important thing to consider. All right, and now we're going to talk a little bit about plugs. Mikey, what do we got today for plugs?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our music. If you'd like to hear more of them, go to kirbycrackle.com or check them out on iTunes. Buy their music.
Tommy, you got something you got to plug? I know you do.
I want to plug ianleino.com. That's ianleino.com. Purveyor of fine T-shirts, glassware, and other geeky products.
I still say you're getting kickbacks. Mike, Josh, what do you got to talk about today?
I'm going to plug friends we met at the last Philadelphia Comic Con, and hopefully we'll see you again. Espionage Cosmetics, if you're a cosplayer and you're looking for the right makeup for the job, check out Espionage Cosmetics.
Great, and I still am so furious that you got to meet and talk to Cynthia Rothrock that I can't really express how much I want a scorpion kick you right in the face. That's right, scorpion kick. I've been trying to do that for years. I just want to plug our Twitter feed, which is outside the long box at the long box guys. Dylan, do you have anything you want to plug?
Nah.
What's your favorite cereal?
Yeah, there is something I want to plug. If you want to have your own very aggressive off-roading truck, go to dieselbrothers.com.
Dieselbrothers.com for all of your...
Hold on, not Diesel Brothers, dieselsellers.com. And you just have to buy a t-shirt or something like that, and you get a chance to earn a very aggressive, badass truck for off-road.
All right, are you a big off-road fan, Dylan?
Yes.
All right, don't...
Do you drive a truck?
Don't...
No.
Dylan, you can't say badass on the air.
All right.
I'm just kidding, you can say badass. Let him fly.
We do have an interview today, and we're going to be interviewing Robin Lang. We interviewed her at Pensacon 2016. She is one of our fans who went to our horrible stereotype.
Hi, this is Robin Lang, and we are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Now, Robin, we're interviewing you here at Pensacon 2016. Where are you from?
I'm from Athens, Georgia.
Athens, Georgia. How long did it take you to get down here?
About 5 hours and 18 minutes.
Wow, that's hardcore. Who are you here to see?
I'm here to see Worf from Star Trek, because he's my favorite from the Star Trek series, the entire one, probably. So, yeah.
Do you go to Dragon Con if you're up in Georgia?
I went last year, so 2015, and we saw the cast of Lost Girl, which has the main character is a bisexual woman. She's also a succubus, so that's fun. And they did a really great portrayal of bisexuality. And since I am bisexual, it's nice to see that.
Now, are you a comic book fan or just a general geek fan?
I do like comic books. Right now, it's mostly Marvel because DC pissed me off whenever they redid the whole 52 thing. Because I think... The Oracle should still be in a wheelchair because that's not really something you can recover from, so.
Are you watching Arrow right now?
I am not watching Arrow. I'm watching Flash. I like Flash better because I like my comic books to not be so dark and gritty. So.
They have made Felicity into Oracle.
Really?
Yeah, she was just recently crippled, and she's in a wheelchair now conducting all the operations from the base.
Well, that's good. I would... rather it be Barbara Gordon because I would just like that storyline, but I understand why they couldn't do that. So Felicity Smokes is a good replacement for that.
Point of order, they don't call her Oracle, they call her Overwatch. And in the and they actually said, well, we're going to call you Oracle, but I think someone else took that already.
Well, that's horrible. And I agree, that was one of the worst parts about the New 52. So what do you read over at Marvel?
Marvel is mostly Iron Man and Avengers, and right now I have the whole Hawkeye series that
Matt Fraction
did, so oh. I loved it, and I love the issue where he does the sign language, because Clint Barton is deaf, so not many people know that, and they tend to forget that he is in the comic book, so it's nice to see it, so...
Awesome. And do you have a favorite horrible stereotype?
Favorite horrible stereotype? Probably whenever they first did Sue Storm, she was a stereotype of a 60s, 50s housewife. She couldn't do anything. She could turn invisible, which is what the 50s men wanted her to be. Invisible. Don't speak, don't do anything, cook our food and everything. So she's probably my favorite horrible stereotype because now she does everything and she's pretty probably the best Fantastic Four person.
She's certainly the most powerful. I agree with you on that.
She is.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I remember talking to Robin. She was really fun to talk to, and she was really very knowledgeable about comic books. Just a delight to have. All right. So that's going to do it for us, everybody. And remember what we always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. Go out there and have fun, and we'll see you at the cons. Bye-bye.
Blowing it.